This podcast is a proud member of the Legends of Tabletop Broadcast Network. For more gaming-related content, please visit www.legendsoftabletop.com.
Hi everybody, Tim here. I am your host and game master for the Polyhedron Society's actual play podcast of Star Wars Edge of the Empire. The Polyhedron Society, with the help of one of its sponsors, will be running a contest during the entire month of February. Every person that leaves a review on iTunes or Stitcher during the month of February will be entered into a drawing for a 3D printed thermal detonator from JMass 3D. You can check out the thermal detonator and other 3D printed products from JMass 3D by going to thepolyhedronsociety.com, clicking on the character bios button, and then clicking on the Etsy button on the bottom right of the page, or you can go to www.etsy.com/shop/JMass3D shop, which will be in today's show notes. This week's episode of Dice Matters involves Destiny and the Destiny Pool. The player characters are different than all the other inhabitants of the galaxy. The story is ultimately about them and their struggles. So sometimes Destiny intervenes in such a way that's beneficial or detrimental to what they're attempting to do. At the beginning of each episode or each session, you have to determine your starting Destiny pool. Each player character will roll a force die. Each light side symbol rolled will generate one light side point, and each dark side symbol will generate one dark side point. The player characters spin the light side, and the game master can spin the dark side. And now we're going to talk about how to spin those. Player characters can flip one light side Destiny over to the dark side, and that will allow him to upgrade his skill check one time. So basically he will upgrade a green ability die to one yellow proficiency die. The game master can flip a dark side point to a light side point to do the same thing for his NPCs. The player characters can also flip a light side point to a dark side point in response to an NPC action, and that would upgrade the difficulty of the NPC's action by one step. So that means the purple difficulty die moves up and becomes a red challenge die. The player characters have the option of flipping light side to dark side to upgrade the difficulty of the NPC. The destiny points can also be used to fuel certain talents or special abilities that the player character may have or the NPC may have. And it's pretty much the same way. You would flip, if you're a player character, you would flip light to dark. If you're NPC, you would flip dark to light. The destiny points can also be spent to introduce a fact or an item into the narrative that didn't previously exist. So, for example, you're in the middle of a gun battle, blaster battle with some Rodian thugs, much like Draco Revan, and you need a crate to hide behind, so you have a little cover. You can flip a destiny, if you're a player, it's light to dark, to introduce a crate or a garbage can or something that you can hide behind. And the more outrageous things you try to flip destiny for, the less likelihood that it would exist. The game master would need to balance that out to make sure that things don't become too ridiculous. I'm looking for a new starship. Well, I'll flip destiny. Oh, there's one. I've got it. I'm gone. We've even used Destiny to introduce some rather odd things into some of our stories. Nothing that we recorded, but we do know of a particular situation where a bounty hunter fell out of a window and one of the player characters flipped Destiny for there to be an open manhole underneath where he was going to land, so he ended up falling straight into the sewer. Things like that would have to be okayed by your game master, but it can happen. That's it for this week's edition of Dice Matters.
A long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, Star Wars Episode 7, Doctor Doctor. Bothan Doctor Risker Basil falls off the speeder and reverts to what he knows best, addiction, and has a breakdown as he comes to grips with his current lifestyle. He doesn't want to end up like Draco. The crew of The Last Ride discuss the upcoming meeting with Del Malvo, Hydro Farmer and former Imperial Senator, and proceeds to meeting with Tonovan, only to come face to face with a new threat.
Rolled for obligation triggers, and I did get a trigger, but we're going to go ahead and roll for Force of Destiny because we're going to role play out the
you
trigger.
You said Force of Destiny.
I mean, Destiny Pool, sorry.
Yes!
You got me.
Who was it?
Distracted.
Who rolled?
Oh. You'll see. All right, Draco, what'd you get?
2 light side.
Oh my god.
Oh.
Sorry.
2 light side. What'd you get, Cody?
2
or,
light side.
Vog.
Oh my god, guess what I got?
What'd you get, Claire?
2 light side.
Wow.
Lan?
A dark side.
God.
Yay!
He's the evil one. It's now been revealed. No.
It's true.
Now we know.
Lan Kai.
So we have 7 destiny points.
As played by Alexander. No.
6 are light, 1 is dark.
Thanks.
So we will begin the session. The scene will open in a dirty, dingy clinic late that same night. Dr. Risker and Sant, the guy who runs the clinic, are just locking up the doors to finish. Risker has had a very busy day. It brings back some pretty stressful memories of how your life was before. And really deep down inside, it makes you very sad to think that you had to leave all that behind. Not only did you leave all that behind, but look at where you are now. I mean, yes, you're surrounded by good people for the most part. You're surviving, but you can't help but miss what you left behind. And your nerves, I mean, by the end of the day, are shedding even more so than before out of that memory and the stress of it all, to the point to where you are consumed with the desire to shoot yourself up with all the available stim packs that you can get your hands on. Now, you can resist, and you don't have to do it.
Oh, no, I'm not going to resist.
But, I mean, it just is going to calm your nerves and give you that little bump to the point to where you even go back into the back into one of the examining rooms as Sant is locking the door and shutting the place down and probably steal a few of his and blast them up.
Really?
Make me
a
hard discipline check.
That one I will definitely roll again. Oh, that was close. I almost dropped it. All right, I failed.
Oh, no. So the ones that you're shooting up that you actually own don't seem to really help you. And your obvious thought would be to go get more to see if it helps.
So he'd probably, instead of choosing stem packs, if what that's not doing, he knows that he'll need something stronger. So he'll probably grab a better drug and ingest it.
Okay, so there's probably some you know, the anesthetic or anesthesia that you can get.
So we have some pharmaceutical grade cocaine.
It's a snort blast. That's what they call it on heavy metal.
It makes sense. If he's using up all the stem pack, it's not going to affect his already drug-addled system. So he'll need to go with something harder.
Right. Go ahead and reduce your strain by 2 for the rest of the session.
Okay.
You find some anesthetic that you can take, can inject it, and you'll have to make me an average resilience check against that.
Woo.
And I'm gonna be a total knucklehead and go ahead and flip destiny to upgrade your difficulty against that once. Gotta love drug addicts.
Right.
So I have you updated one of my difficulty?
Yeah.
Oh man. Oh, thanks. Thanks, guys. Yeah, I love rolling a blank on the 1 proficiency die I have. Guess what? I failed, and then I got 2 disadvantages.
2 failures, 2 disadvantages.
2 threats.
Threats. Whatever.
Sorry, I deserve this even more.
Excuse me, princess.
Okay, so taking the anesthetic and failing the resilience check, you actually take 5 strain worth of damage.
Jeez.
On top of your 2 that you've already been reduced.
Wow.
Because you're basically injecting poison into yourself.
That'd be great. He's like, hey, thanks for all that. And he just finds him sprawled out on the floor, needle still in his arm.
And it hits you so hard because of the two threats that you rolled that you can no longer take a free maneuver.
Ugh.
So you're just slowed to a crawl.
You're just like, you know, imagine somebody shooting up heroin, how they immediately go from one extreme and now they're at the other. You're just...
Congratulations, you're Courtney Love.
Oh, my God.
Oh, wow.
I'm sorry.
You stumble out of the back. Dr. Sant comes to you and, you know, helps you because your stomach is like, are you okay, buddy?
Yes, it's just been a long day. I think I need to go home.
Yeah, it looks like you're having a hard time walking there. You want me to give you a lift?
No, I...
That's the least I can do for you helping me out today. There's people coming here all the time that's, you know, banged up pretty good from the streets or whatever. And he looks at you and you can see that he has really enjoyed having another doctor to talk about doctor stuff with.
And Risker from today, definitely. I mean, he throughout the day, he's just between breaks, you know, they talk about patients and, you know.
And the funniest things you've ever found in somebody and that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
that kind
have of some stuff. Drugs so to show my appreciation.
Yeah, and he just tells you, I cannot tell you how much I appreciate you coming in and helping me.
And not stealing all my drugs. That's my favorite part.
It's great. You know, you helped me out and we really didn't discuss a payment or anything, but, you know, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to pay you 500 credits here just for, you know, that's not even enough gratitude. Here's 1,000 credits because I know you paid for your education and stuff like
I did. 8-ball.
1,000 credits.
Yeah, here you go. And he hands you, he makes you take the money. And he goes, and I'm going to give you a ride to wherever you're staying. Where are you going?
I have to head back to the last ride. The docking bay is, and he gives him the.
He's like, what a sinister name. Is that your house, your ship, or what?
It's a ship. You know, I've been traveling with these guys for a while, you know.
Yeah, well,
they get pretty banged up, more than we saw today, but I don't know. I definitely miss the clinic life, you know.
Normal. Hopefully, will you be back in the morning? I could use some more help.
I know, rub it in deeper, right?
We'll keep in touch.
I'll have to see how it goes, you know. I'll have to talk with my captain and everything. He's the one and I'm kind of obligated to right now because he's helped me a lot in the last few years. So, but
also,
I just definitely
signed another 2-year lease and I just can't walk away from that kind of commitment.
I upgraded a 2-year contract. Yeah. Okay. So I'll give you a ride back to your ship. He helps you and he's like, are you sure you're okay?
Yeah. It's just been, you know, he kind of seems embarrassed, like part of that fight, you know, kind of warming out and then going into the clinic.
And remember, you are now very high.
I know. And he's like, he likes this guy so much, he's trying really hard to hide it.
Which makes it more obvious. And
right. And this is going to be a great conversation you're going to have with Lan.
Yeah, he's going to no filter, which is amazing.
I'm glad we're doing this. This was a good idea.
Yeah, this is perfect. Drugs are bad, okay?
Yeah.
Right.
Drugs are bad.
Stay in school, kids.
The screen will wipe, and you're stumbling up the entry ramp of the last ride. You don't really recall the trip over here.
Oh, God.
Or being dropped off or walking up the ramp until this exact moment. And you're about halfway up the ramp. When Dr. Risker comes stumbling into the hallway of the last ride.
Oh, and he falls, by the way. He's like trips at least 3 times.
And then he's like, shh.
To nobody.
Shh. Sleepy.
Have we seen this behavior from him before?
Probably not to this extent.
No, okay. Never to this extent. Like, you've seen him shoot himself, and he's, like, claimed he's needed before.
So it's been kind of quirky and odd, but we've never really had a reason to just think that right out the gate.
Yeah.
Dr. Risker, are you okay? I'll go over to help him up.
No, I don't want help, all right? I don't want help from you right now, or anyone on this ship.
Okay.
No, don't even say just okay to me. Do you know what I've been through today? Do you know what I've done? Because I've been thinking about that quite a bit on my way home, which, by the way, I don't even know how I got home. This is the right ship, right?
Yes.
And he kind of looks around like, and you can tell his like pupils are like super, super dilated at like everything. I'm a doctor. And he kind of waits for you to agree.
Yes, yes.
All right. And do you know what the number one rule of being a doctor is?
Don't harm anyone?
Exactly. Do you know what I did today?
I know what you did not do today.
That's...
You did not harm anyone.
Lant, you are a liar. But I respect you, but you're a liar right now. Because I did. I threw that glass at that guy. And I mean, like, I did it out of instinct, you know? Because I didn't want them to, like, hurt Vog. But I did it. I hurt that guy. And then you know what happened to him? He died. And I was responsible for that. That man's blood is on my hands. And then you know what I did after that? I saved the other guy.
That's good.
Is it? I don't know. Because, I mean, a few years ago, I would have thought, you know, let's not fight. Let's just, you know. And I didn't think that I would have to just, you know, save a man's life that we just brutally. Did you see his face? Just. His face was smashed into bits, and I had to tend to him today. I was at a clinic today, and I helped lives, and I saved him, and it felt great. But then, you know, I started, the night started to end, and I thought about, you know, it doesn't matter. Because what are we going to do? We're going to end up killing people, and I'm a doctor, and I'm going to allow that, because why, Lan? Why do I allow it? Tell me.
Dr. Risker, you need to calm down.
Don't tell me to calm down. I am calm.
Look.
Oh, and he's swaying as he says that, like back and forth.
And you need to stand still.
You know what you did today? You saved my life today. So you're saying that saving my life didn't mean anything? Think about what you're saying here.
But
I was stabbed. I could have bled to death and you stopped it.
But why did I save that other guy's life if it doesn't matter?
It does matter. That was the right thing to do.
But
we didn't start that fight. We didn't start drawing weapons. They did. They made that choice, and they have to live with it.
But we just stood by and watched as Vog and Draco beat those men up. And I mean, why did we do that? I mean, in the old days, we would have stopped something like that because we would have known something worse would have happened. And everyone in this town just stood by and watched as several men died today. And I'm just, I didn't feel anything. I didn't. Feel anything. I have never felt that. And is there something wrong with me?
I can't tell you what you felt or did not feel. I can tell you right now that obviously you did feel something or you wouldn't be acting the way you are right now. It obviously upset you. And it upset me, to be honest with you. I didn't want to kill that man. I killed somebody today, but I didn't like it and I didn't want to. But unfortunately, in the world that we live in, it was either me or him. I was defending myself, and when I was defending my crew, which is paramount to us being successful out here.
But we could have just stunned them. We could have just walked away, all of us.
I don't think that's true. I don't think they would have let us just walk away. They were there to cause us harm, and they were willing to do anything to do it.
I got paid today. Don't laugh. It's no, important.
I know, it's just how you said it.
I got paid today for saving people's lives. You know how much we got paid, you know, scavenging? Not even a mount to what I got paid today for saving lives, for helping people move on. The value is just... It's clear people here value life. I mean, why would there be a clinic? Why? I mean, I don't know. I don't want to not feel anything for when we fight people. I don't want us to have to just decide, like, who gets to die and who gets to live. I want everyone to live, even people we face. I don't want to be a murderer. I don't want to be like the people out there in this town who just gun down each other without anything. I don't want to be... And he kind of like quiet, like whispers, and he's like, I don't want to be like Draco.
Then don't be.
He's on our crew, and I watch him, and I don't stop him when he does these things. I couldn't stop him when he shot that guy.
I couldn't have either.
it happened too fast. But I was able to save the Weakway's life. We can't save everybody, Doctor. Nobody can. But we can save the ones that we can.
The clinic wants that my friend, Sant, wants me to come back tomorrow, and I don't know.
Well, in my opinion, looking at you right now, I don't think that's a good idea.
What are you saying? I'm fine. I'm just tired.
Very tired.
Yeah.
Go home drunk, your doctor.
Also, where's my pants? As a side note, not to make light of the situation, I'm very glad my character wasn't there, because that was an extremely deep discussion. That's some heavy stuff, man.
Riskers can be pretty heavy when he wants. But he kind of just stands there for a second, and he thinks, I'm going to sleep, because I want to sleep. And if I remember this conversation tomorrow...
Which I won't.
Which I won't, probably. At least I know I have you as a friend, Lan. He tries to pat you, and then he misses the first time. And then he, kind of stands and focuses you on for a while, and then just slowly, he palms your face and gives you a light pat before he slowly tries to wobble into his room, and you notice he's going the wrong way.
I will turn Dr. Risker to the right way and help him to his room.
Yeah.
Anything Lan needs to do tonight?
I'd like to talk to Draco and Vogue about tomorrow.
Okay. Would be very easy to arrange, I'm sure.
We do have a meeting tomorrow with Tonovan.
All right.
My goal is to work out something peacefully here, okay? That's what the Malvos want. That's what we hope for. But if things go bad, you guys do what you have to do, okay?
It seems highly unlikely that this is going to end peacefully from what Tyr's been saying about this fella.
One thing that I got from that conversation today, what if, even if things go bad, if we were... unfortunately had to kill Tonovan, what's going to stop Tyr from just moving in?
Right.
Right now, they kind of keep each other in check, in my opinion.
Because it's more trouble than Tyr wants to deal with.
There's one thing that is, I just need to point out. In all technicality and legality and everything else, Tyr already controls the entire planet. Whatever masters he serves that exiled, they have control of the entire planet. The only thing that they're interested in at this point would be the shadow port of Felina, so they can run whatever they're running through here. So he already controls everything. So even if Tonovan wasn't a player in the stakes at all, things would run just exactly like they're running now.
We've known, we've not known this guy very long, but the little time we've had around him, we've gotten the feeling that, you know, he's got the resources and the power and the opportunity that if he wanted the farms there, it would already be over. No discussion.
You do have that distinct impression.
There's a power struggle right now because he doesn't care. Because I think that's the feeling we got when we were talking to the farm initially, was that the main thing is that if Tyr didn't want this to happen, it wouldn't be going on. There would be no problems. But Tyr just, you know, he's a lazy drunk that has no interest.
And it may be this whole thing is kind of fun.
Right. Just he's watching.
Playing chess is fun. So that may be, he may be viewing it as one big game.
He certainly acted like it after the bar fight.
Anything that we can do to keep Tyr happy, in my opinion, is a good thing.
I don't think we necessarily need to get involved for Tyr to stay his drunk, happy self.
Just saying. People like him that I've dealt with in the past, they
the exiled failure drunks that you've met in the past, their cooperation really panned out for you.
He's a crime lord.
That's why you're here.
He's a crime lord.
Right, that's why you're here with the rest of us.
I'm just saying. These guys, it's good to have them on your side. If you're in the area that we're at, these are the guys to have on your side.
And he is on our side. And we've not done anything to change that. We're not talking about killing these people for his amusement to keep him on our side. That's not what this is about.
Well, I'm not planning on killing anyone for any reason.
Right.
But I'm just concerned. All right, so we're meeting in a warehouse at 2 o'clock tomorrow.
We'll be there.
I'm worried about Risker a little bit. There's something very wrong with him tonight.
What do you mean? He finally come in?
Yeah. Stumbled in. Didn't remember how he got here.
I left him to work at a clinic. What do you mean stumbled in?
He acted very drunk, but didn't smell like alcohol.
Maybe he found some spice.
Anyway, We'll just keep an extra eye out on him tomorrow.
The two ships left, Corsair and the Reaver, by the way. They buttoned up about the time I got there, and then they blasted off a little while later.
I don't think that'd be too much of a problem. I don't believe they have any knowledge of us directly being involved.
Probably they do. They knew something was up.
Why do you think they suspect us?
Well, one of their crew members ran to the ship. They locked it down, and then they took off.
Well, they probably knew something was up when there was a gunfire at the bar their captain was at, and their captain didn't answer his radio anymore, but he's comlink, comlink anymore. But I don't know if that means they know we're directly. And as for the Weequay...
Well, since you spared him, he knows.
Well, he's a broken failure is what he is. It doesn't seem like the pirates left without him, didn't they? I don't think they're going to be answering to him ever again.
Never knew. Should have just sometimes, let me finish him off.
Sometimes leaving someone alive is the most painful thing you can do to him. He won't be in charge. Nobody's going to listen to a toothless, broken failure.
We'll see, I suppose.
I don't like that look on your face, Tim. Quit it.
It's just how my face is.
You were just born with that sinister look. He came out twirling a mustache.
I am evil Tim.
See, in the alternate universe, your guy out of the group doesn't have a goatee, so he's the good one.
Right.
It is true.
All right, let's get some sleep. Get ready for tomorrow.
All right. Head down.
Nothing else this evening? All right, so you guys have a good sleep. At some point in the night, a dirty, sandy, windy reminder that this is what the locals call monsoon season rolls through. And at some point in the wee hours of the morning, you are awoke by the sound of sand blasting the hull of the last ride, except for Dr. Risker, who is out for the rest of the night and probably is the last one to wake up in the morning. But you're able to wake up in whatever order that you guys do. You're able to eat or do whatever it is that you need to do in preparation for your 2 p.m. local standard time meeting. Risker, I would say probably around 9 a.m. still hasn't gotten up. Around 10 a.m. still hasn't gotten up. If left to his own, probably won't wake up until around noon or so, unless somebody wakes him up.
I have no reason to.
The storm does not stop. It's not quite as bad as it was the one when you guys were down in the strip mine, but it's enough to require you guys to wear respirators or some kind of face covering and eye covering when you go out.
The environmental gear we bought. Yeah.
Yes, you'll need that for sure. I'm trying to think if there's anything else that you guys need or want to do this morning.
Brush my teeth.
Make sure Riskers is still alive and kicking.
Yeah, he's alive. He's probably felt
I
better.
I am not in the cot, if you're going to check in my room. I am on the floor. No, I am in the closet. You see his legs sticking out. It looks like he was trying to take off his coat, but he only got halfway there before he just kind of slumped down
fell in and fell asleep like that.
Yeah.
I'm just going to tell you, I think that is absolutely perfect. Your obligation trigger was
pretty good timing.
Was phenomenal.
It definitely changed a lot of what I had in mind for that conversation, and I think he revealed a lot more than he probably wanted to.
Yeah, but you said you wanted to be open about how you felt. Unfiltered, yeah. I believe, were your words.
Yeah, so it worked out.
I think it's perfect.
Because not sober Riskers has quite the mouth.
You felt better in your history, but you're able to get up, brush your teeth, whatever it is that you need to do.
Yeah, because while he's down there, I'm going to kind of crouch down and try and make sure, he's all right. Risker, hey, Risker, wake up.
Oh, don't scream at me.
I wasn't.
Yeah, it sounds really loud. He kind of he's still face down and he lifts up one arm and he kind of gestures to his nightstand table. Get me the bottle of pills. You have my book. And you look over and you see a whole bunch of bottles of pills.
And he just kind of has an overwhelmed look at them. Could you be a bit more specific?
The red ones. And as soon as you reach for the red ones, you hear them. Blue ones. Those are the ones.
What are these for exactly?
Headache.
You have that many headaches, do you?
They're just the blue ones. Come on,
I thought you said the red ones.
He kind of just goes silent as that he's trying to think. I'll take care of it myself. Just give me a moment.
All right. Don't forget about the meeting, too.
Meeting?
Yeah, with Tonovan.
Tonovan?
Which I knew because I was there.
Who's Tonovan?
Just take it easy on the pills, Doc. Just get ready. We'll talk about it later.
So anything else you guys need to do?
I'm going to prepare marinated cactus for breakfast.
You can probably go in the compound and...
I want to try and...
Okay. Replicate the recipe.
Because we're not taking her with us when we leave, and I'm still going to be hungry.
Okay. Cool. So you guys can have marinated cactus wedges, which are good. They're not as good as the farmer's wife, but...
I don't need anything. He kind of nose curls at the sight of food.
He's like, I'm sick at my stomach. I'm going to go eat some grass.
And one of you guys, as he's like trying to put on his lab coat,
there's no grass.
You'll probably notice that his shirt he's wearing is on backwards and the tag is out and everything.
It's backwards, inside out.
Yeah.
Upside down.
But at least on this side, it's clean.
Yeah. Except for like the whole sea of like, oh, wait, dogs don't sweat. So never mind.
Sure. I'll go talk to Dale. Let him know what progress we've made.
So you make your way, or the scene will wipe, and you'll be in his, basically in his living room, and he looks like he's suiting up to go out to check on the progress of today's crop and that kind of stuff when you come in, and he's like, oh, good morning. How are things?
Good. We have a meeting today with Donovan to discuss your problems, try to work that out for you.
Okay. Just so you know that... the local news broadcast. Apparently, they found some remains of those missing miners.
Did they find all of them?
Most of all of them. They found part of them over
pieces
here.
Pieces of all of them.
Part of them over there. It was bad. So,
as a senator, I feel like you could have delivered that news a little bit more gently. Do we find all of them? Well, pieces of all of them. I mean, you know. I'm still picking pieces out of that one guy out of my hair, but you know.
He's pretty blunt about stuff.
No doubt.
Yeah, he goes. It's unfortunate. I mean, I don't know what to do. I'm no longer a government official. I don't have any bureaucratic capacity here, but I'm going to reach out to their families and see if I can offer my condolences. And
well, if they didn't find all of the bodies, there's still a chance that some of those guys might be alive.
Possible.
Okay.
Side quest updated.
Failed.
Oh no.
We'll deal with the business at hand, and then we can think about that.
Okay, so you're going to meet with Tonovan today at 2 in Felina, right? With Tyr's blessing, of course.
Yes.
So what's the plan?
Well, the plan is to peacefully get him to back off of this farm.
Right, and that's what I want. But I'm just shaking my head as to how. Oh, that's going to happen. I'm scratching my head.
It's going to happen. Let's be realistic. It may not go that way, but I'm going to do everything within my power to talk to him, to reason with him, to get him to back off of this farm and just let you live in peace. And hopefully, you know, meeting in Felina, at least without saying anything about to your perception as reality, and maybe that'll be enough to back him up.
Like what? Like Tyr is backing us?
Well, he's letting us meet there. On Tyr's behalf, I can't say anything like that, you know.
Right.
Tyr has made it very clear that he's neutral in this whole thing to me, but...
Airports. Neutral.
However...
It'd be a shame if they were all to die tragic, horrible deaths, wouldn't it? Mm-hmm. And if you were to steal some of their money and it was to just accidentally find its way into my pocket, tragedy,
Exactly.
That sounds about right.
But... We'll just have to see how it goes.
What are you willing to give up if it comes down to it? How far are you willing to go to have peace?
I don't know. I've been imagining, and he looks around to make sure nobody from the farm is able to listen to what he's about to say, but I've imagined this going down very different. I imagine Tonovan coming in and gunning us all down. And when I tell you that I suppose... For me, I'm willing to die for what's mine, and I'm more than willing to fight for it, even though I'm not a soldier, I'm not a fighter. But I'm willing to do that for what's mine. I don't want to put my family at risk.
What about the flowers? Would you be willing to
give
the flowers?
Yeah, he's already said out of character that if they were willing to do something with Tonovan, he'd be more
willing to trade the flowers, but Tonovan doesn't want to do business with him over the flowers. He wants to kill everybody and own the source. You know, why buy water when you can own the entire river, you know?
Yeah. I don't know. It's hard to say. I'm willing to deal, but I want to own my property. And the question is, for you, is what are you willing to do for those flowers? Because you are going to look at having someone who is willing to purchase that part.
That's exactly right. I've already made contact with some people I know. You know, we've got the ball rolling on that part of it. It's in our best interest that things work out. I would prefer it to be peaceful.
Well, me too. I mean, despite the fact of where I happen to live, to be totally honest, that just makes it all that much more important that I maintain my integrity and my honor, I guess.
I agree. I agree with you completely. You know, this is a little bigger than just two farms now, right?
I think so.
Because of that, because of what we can do with those flowers, the people we can help, I'm willing to do whatever it takes to protect that arrangement.
And the people here, because if left unchecked, it seems like there's nothing stopping this guy from eventually escalating to where he just comes in here and starts shooting everything that moves and take place. And that, I can't sit back and let that happen.
I agree.
Okay. So, I know you guys are quote-unquote handling this in both parties' best interest, but if there's something that I need to do, you know, if I need to be present at the meeting or if I need to send some of my security guys there or whatever.
I think the best thing to do is to stay here and stay safe.
Yeah, if things go bad at this meeting and it goes bad for us, then you can guarantee that they'll come for the farm.
Yeah, I believe you're right. Your involvement escalates the situation drastically.
It so often does.
So let's hope things go good.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to let you know what was going on, and we'll go get this over with.
Stay safe.
Yeah. Watch your backs. And he starts to say something, and then he hesitates, and then he just takes it back like I...
All right. Go back and head into Felina.
Out here, the storm still rages and everything is real dusky. You can see the dust. What's not blowing is hanging in the air. It's visibility is really low, and you have to rely more on the instrument panels of the speeder than you can your own eyes. By the time you get to Felina, it's just really kind of starting there where it's kind of blue from west to east. It's just now really starting to get started over there. You can see the awnings are blowing in the wind, and the deeper you get into the city, the less the wind and the sand affect you, but you can still feel it. In the center of the city, which is close to the warehouse to where you're going, is a large, abandoned, derelict spaceship, starship. It's huge. It's a capital ship. It looked like it sat down, and you can see the engines have been stripped off of it, and there's massive power cables and such that have been plugged into their place that feed into, like, a transformer bank that looks like the city may be drawing power from the ship. What you're guessing is that when the Saldana Mining Corporation first settled here, they just landed the ship and a city built around it. As it's evolved over time, that, you know, they're using the ship as, like, their local government offices.
Slash power plant.
Right. That kind of stuff. And you're able to get to the meet. What time are you headed to the meet site? Because remember, it's 2:00 is the meeting.
Right. What time is it now?
Well, Risker didn't get up till noon.
4:45.
Right.
Right. So I would imagine you're getting ready and your exchange probably, and getting out here probably took you 30 minutes. So it's probably 12:30, 1:00-ish.
We'll go ahead and head on over there.
Okay. So the warehouse is abandoned. Well, not abandoned. It's just relatively empty at this point. There's a big pair of blast doors and a little office right inside of the doors with, like, a desk and a computer terminal, that kind of stuff. The thing has big round windows that are real high, and they're probably, you know, 2 or 3 meters up off the ground, and they're circular. There's three on one wall and one on the back wall, and then, I'm sorry, there's three on the right wall, one on the back wall, and then the left wall is completely solid, whereas it's up against the building beside it. In here, there are some old abandoned cargo containers that are roughly the size of a big chest or, you know, big box. There's probably several of those stacked up about the place. And as you guys open the door and come in, there are three large heron-looking birds that are back in the corner. They've found their way in here somehow, seeking shelter from the storm outside. And they kind of honk, squawk, kind of a combination thing there at you guys as you come in. Their bills are really long. You know, their bills are probably, I don't know how many meters it would be, but they're at least like a 2-foot-long bill, and they're real pointy. The three big birds in here, the herons, walk at you, and they do their best to stay clear, but they do not try to exit the warehouse. It's a big warehouse. It's a big part.
We kind of shoo them away, like gesture at them.
Yeah, they stay away. They don't want to go out into the storm.
Oh, right.
So they just basically run circles and try to stay away. So you guys have a good layout, a good visual layout of the warehouse, and you can do, you know, whatever setup or make plans. Hey, Draco, you stand over here, you stand over there, that kind of stuff. Now's the opportunity to do that.
Since there's an office here, wouldn't it be best for you to meet him, like the two of you in the office, and keep the goons out here?
Yeah, except he might kill me. I really don't like that plan at all.
So we'll set it up in the middle. Is there beams, support beams? Like,
there's rafters.
Mm-hmm. We ought to bring two chairs out in the middle of the room so you can sit down with him and he can sit down with you.
Yeah. And as you guys are discussing your plans, you can hear the sand and the wind really, you know, blasting against the windows and against the rooftop, that kind of stuff.
You know, as we're discussing this stuff, just on the record, that I've already got my shield on my arm, and I'm kind of keeping my other, like, as a talk, I've got my hand, other hand on the belt, like I'm ready to reach for my weapon, just in case, you know,
somebody
comes in shooting or anything. I just want to be prepared.
Right. So how do you want to do it?
We'll put a table and two chairs in.
Okay. You can drag stuff out of the office out here to the center.
Okay. I also would like, on my side of the table, some crates being nearby. So if I have to take cover, I can.
Yeah. And don't forget, for future reference, one of the most overlooked things about the Destiny Pool is you can flip Destiny to insert things within reason. You know, so if you need a crate to hide behind.
Hey, look, a lightsaber.
No, that's some bull right there. Not going to happen.
Okay.
So just a thought. So you guys get set up nice and good, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right after you guys get the chairs pulled out and the table pulled out and you're set up in that way, you've got places, you know, Draco, you stand here, that kind of plan together. You hear a bang on the, it's close to 2 o'clock, so you hear a bang on the blast door. Bang, 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 bang.
Who is it?
All right, I'll go open the door.
Okay, you only open the door wide enough because the sand just blasts you. And the very first thing that you see is something that you have never seen before. It stands at just a towering 1 meter tall, and it looks like a cross between a gremlin from the Gremlins movie and a Sahagin from Pathfinder or Dungeons and Dragons, except instead of that greenish or bluish color, it's a desert tan kind of color. It's got a sloping forehead that kind of shields its eyes from the sun, like a natural built-in visor. It's covered in frill and spike bony protrusions, and it's wearing like a little leather harness, and it has a what looks like a bone club with a blade, a rusty old blade that's been stuck down in the end and leathered to it, and it's got like streamers of leather hanging off of the weapon with beads and stuff. It chitters a weird kind of language that you don't understand, and then you look out behind him and you can see there's four guys coming up that are wearing environmental gear like yours, and that's where we'll end the session.
This podcast is a proud member of the Legends of Tabletop Broadcast Network, bringing you the geek.